My name is Temi. I have worked here for the past couple of years as the youth drop-in person and the junior youth intern. I've had the privilege of working with Pastors John Revichander and Bailey Potter as my youth pastors. And I'm just so glad to be here with you this morning. It's good to be here with you this morning and to be able to just have the honor of giving the message this morning. We're not going to be continuing with our series today that Bob is doing an amazing job leading us in, the Blessed series. Instead, we're going to be taking a detour this morning because Bob's not here. And we're going to be speaking about something different. We're going to be talking about audacious faith. Everybody say audacious faith. Audacious faith. A bold faith. The dictionary definition of the word audacious is showing a willingness to take surprisingly bold risks. A faith that is willing to take the risk of trusting in the Lord. The risk of trusting Him even when your circumstances give you reason to believe otherwise. And it's a risk because we're not always sure how God will meet us in these moments. We're sure that He will, but we're not sure how He will meet us in these moments. But you and I, why do we need faith? Why do we need an audacious faith? I found these reasons off of the FaithWorks Center online. Here are some reasons we need faith. Number one, in your notes, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, it is impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that He exists and that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. How can we come to a God that we don't believe exists? How can we please a God we don't believe cares for us? Number two, faith moves God to act. God is all powerful and He loves to move, especially in your faith. See, it is faith that moves the Lord's heart to act, not necessarily your need or your desire, your doubt or your fear. It is faith. In the book of Mark, when Jesus heals the sick, He often ends off His encounters with them with a reference to that person's faith being the deciding factor, the deciding thing that led to their healing. Number three, faith strengthens us during our trials. We live in a sinful world, and as a result, there will be trials. There is an enemy, the enemy of your soul, that so desperately wants to rob you of your faith. In 1 Peter 4 verses 12 and 13, Peter has this to say to followers of Christ that are experiencing a difficult time because of following Him. He says this, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." How do we make it through our trials with our faith? Your faith, it strengthens you, it equips you to make it through your rough times. Number four, your faith can encourage others. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, this is what it's written about encouraging one another. "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Walking in faith is not easy. Oftentimes it is hard. It is especially hard to do on your own. But it is far easier when you are surrounded by others doing the same and encouraging one another. And the last one, your faith is the foundation of your salvation. You and I, we have access to the Father because of our faith, out of His great love. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says this, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." See, it wasn't your actions that saved you, it was the grace of God working through your faith in great love. Your deeds do not get you to heaven, your deeds do not get you to an eternal life. It's your relationship with a good God that does that. And good deeds flow from a relationship with a good God. Romans 10 verses 9 to 10 says this, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Audacious faith is a strong oak tree, not easily moved by things of this world. Storms will still come. Fires will still rage, and the tree feels it all. It experiences it all, and yet it remains rooted in his words. It stays firm in what he has said. And I want to be clear, having audacious faith does not mean never feeling lost or anxious or lost or perplexed or sad or confused or worried. It doesn't mean these things. It means experiencing all these things and still working through them, still believing in your heart that he is good and he is working for your good. Audacious faith requires that while the rest of the world, the secular world, says, what if, you and I, we say, even if. And so what is faith? What is this faith we speak about? Hebrews 11 verse 1 has a really good definition. I love this verse. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. Another version says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for, and it is evidence of things that we cannot see. And I love this verse. I love this verse because it shows us that faith is confidence in what we're hoping for. Not what we have already. It's confidence in what we're hoping for. An assurance in what we do not see. Not assurance in what we see already and we're comforted by. Can you see in this definition, there is a lack of in this definition. Confidence in what we hope for. You and I, we can only hope for things that are not guaranteed. We can only hope for things that we believe are not guaranteed. If I'm hoping for a pair of new jeans, and I save up, and I work hard, and I get, and I'm able to afford them, the second I buy these new jeans, I don't hope for them anymore. It would be illogical to do such. We hope for things that aren't guaranteed. We hope, some of us hope for great grades. Some of us are hoping for a better financial position. Some of us are hoping down the line for a baby, a child on the way. Some of us are hoping for repaired or new relationships. We all hope that our loved ones live long and good lives. All of these things that we do not already have or that we are not guaranteed. And so audacious faith, confidence in what we hope for. And so in other words, when it comes to the topic of what you lack, what you want from the Lord, I have a question for you. Where do you place your trust, your confidence, and your assurance? Do you place them in things that were not designed to carry the burden of your deepest desires? Or do you place them in the Lord and what he has promised? What he has promised and what he has said, that is where our faith should be. He's promised that through the pain, through the suffering, the difficulties, he is with us. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says this, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. The Lord, he is with you. John 16 verse 33, Jesus says this, I have told you these things so that in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. The truth is, even when you cannot see it, even when you cannot feel it, even when trusting in him is hard, God is still working. He's still working. And this idea is so fundamental to our understanding of our relationship with God, because you and I, we cannot commit the fallacy of assuming that God is only on the move when we observe it. We can't commit the mistake of saying God only works when we see it. We can't say God is working because I see it, and so if I don't see it, he's not working. No, that's not how it works. That's not how he works. God is not so weak that he's only on the move when you are able to see it. It is a normal human characteristic to want to attribute an idea that God loves us to an action being fulfilled, wanting to see evidence of that. It is a normal thing. And in fact, God, he's a gracious God because he indulges us in this and he gives us concrete things to point to when we struggle to believe. This past year at junior high, I was doing a series on, it was called Keeping the Receipts. And we're talking about faith, and we're talking about how difficult it is to have faith at times. And one of the things we pointed out was when it's hard to see what God will do in the future, remember what he has done in the past. Keep the receipts and look at what he has done. And so I ask you, what about in your life? There have been definite things the Lord has done to show you that he loves you. There have been things he has done to show you that he cares for you. And so what about in your life? That same God that indulges us in this and performs miracles to show us his heart because he loves us, that saves us when we need saving, he also calls us to live a life beyond just seeing is believing. He calls us to live a life of believing is seeing. There is a there's a song by, I think it's by Southeastern University. It's called What a God. I'm laughing because Cass, my friend Cass and I are huge worship nerds. It's called What a God. And one of the, it's a beautiful song, you should listen to it. One of the lines in the bridge is, if I feel your heart, but I never see your hand, Lord, I will still have it all. This fundamental idea that, God, if I can trust that you are working, in the absence of evidence that you are working, I have had all that life has to offer. Blaise Pascal, a 17th century Frenchman, mathematician, physicist, inventor, philosopher, Catholic, it seems like in those days people just did everything. He had this to say about faith. He said that in faith, there is enough light for those who want to believe and enough shadows to blind those who do not. Romans 1 verse 17, Paul says, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, not by sight, not by evidence, by faith, from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Live by what he has done in hopes of what he will do. Having audacious faith, this type of faith that is commended, adored by the Lord, that is sweet unto the Lord, this type of faith requires some level of uncertainty in our circumstances. It requires walking and being led when our eyes cannot see. Yes, you can trust that the Lord is working even when you might not be able to feel it. That is the uncertainty. Yes, you can walk boldly ahead even when you cannot see the path where it ends. Or even if you cannot see beyond the next step, that is uncertainty. Audacious faith in the presence of uncertainty will take you from living a life of wherever you are right now into a life of fulfillment, a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. And is that not a life that we desire? How do we have audacious faith? In Mark, we get to see this type of faith in action. In Mark chapter 2, I'll be reading from verses 5 and 10 to 12. Just for some context, Jesus has arrived in Capernaum, and a crowd has followed him, and it's really, really busy, it's really, really packed. He's in one of the houses that he's preaching at, and a paralyzed man is brought to this place by his friends, four different friends that are carrying him. And they, when they see the crowd, they realize that they can't reach Jesus through the crowd, so they need to find a different way. And so they climb on the roof, they cut open the roof, and they lower the paralyzed man down right in front of Jesus. These are some amazing friends. I love my friends. I don't know if the thought would have come in my mind to do this. So these are some amazing friends with some audacious faith. And Jesus, upon seeing their faith in verse 5, it says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. And then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man in verse 10 and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked through the stunned onlookers. And so how do we have audacious faith? Well, first off, if you want audacious faith, you have to recognize that your faith cannot grow without rainy days. Sunny days. It's really easy to say that we have a bold faith on sunny days when things are going well and there's nothing to test that claim, hey? Say I was talking to you about gardening, and I was talking to you as a friend, and I was like, hey, I want to get into gardening. And I've got the shovel, I've got the trowel, I've got all the equipment, I've got the gardening pants, got the gardening shirt, I've got the bucket hat with the flowers on it. I even bought some nice potted soil for a plant that I'm, a seed that I'm putting in there to grow. But say I ended this off by saying, but you know what, I just love the seed so much. I only wanted to experience the sunny days. I only wanted to experience nothing but sunny days, no rainy or cloudy days when it's sad. I wanted to experience sunny days. You'd probably look at me like I'm a bit crazy or like I don't know anything about gardening. The main point is that plants, they need cloudy, rainy days to grow. And the same goes for your faith. The Lord, He takes the bad. He takes what you are going through. Cloudy days, rainy days are the worst days when it is difficult to keep going, when everything seems to be going wrong one after the other, when you are struggling to keep moving forward. The Lord sees you in that, and He does something miraculous. He takes the bad, and He doesn't just dispose of it or throw it away. No, He turns it for good. Isaiah 61 talks about a beautiful trade. He gives beauty for ashes. He gives joyous blessing for mourning. Your time in the dark, the hard times, the suffering, in that space, He is with you and He will deliver you. He is with you and He will, for a fact, save you from that time. Check His record. He hasn't failed you just yet. But even in that, He is using that time for good. As the song says, He turns graves into gardens. He takes a place of death and sadness and grief, and He turns it into a place of growth, of beauty, of love. And it might take a while. This paralyzed man was paralyzed from birth, most likely. And so he would have gone his whole life without using his legs. Talk about a rainy day or season. He had a rainy life. And yet, he was moved by hearing what the Lord had done, what Jesus had done, and believing what he had seen. So your rainy days are needed to grow your faith. But rainy days will come and they will go. And this is a comforting truth, that your pain and your suffering is not permanent. Your feelings might say otherwise, but it is not permanent and it will leave. But with it going is an opportunity to grow deeper into your relationship with your Heavenly Father. And I'm not saying to you that your rainy days, your dark days don't mean anything to me or to God. No. I'm not saying that they're not a big deal, they're easy to get over. No, I've been there with you. But what I am saying is that in your hurt and in your pain, that God sees it, there is still place to grow. And who better to grow your faith than the great gardener himself? A few months ago, I was going through a rough period, and I was experiencing some serious heartache. It was like half a year ago now. And I was out for coffee with one of my friends, and she could see I was hurting, and she was hurting as well. And so we were just taking turns trying to help each other. And she said to me, she quoted something that I had seen long ago when I was a bit younger. She said, Timmy, it sucks that you're going through this, but would you argue that the heartache you're feeling that has brought you closer to God, would you argue that that heartache is better than any happiness that would take you away from Him? Your hurt matters. Your pain matters. To the Lord, it matters. He sees you in it. He sees it and He grieves with you. And He also turns it around for good. James 1 verses 2 and 3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. the same soil or circumstances that can give rise to faith growing can also give rise to doubt growing in its place. It all depends on what you plant. Number two, your faith can overcome. God loves to move through your faith. Faith moves God to move. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus meets and he heals the blind man, but afterwards he says, your faith has healed you. In Mark 5, Jesus is moving through a really thick crowd and it's bustling with people, and a sick woman who had been sick from when she was younger with constant terrible bleeding, she believes, if I can just get to him, I don't even have to speak to him, if I can just get to him and grab his cloak, I will be healed. She does this, she's healed, and Christ says to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. In this story of the paralyzed man, Jesus is only moved to heal the paralyzed man upon witnessing the faith of the man and his friends. And he does this to show us that he will work through our faith, and therefore our faith can overcome our circumstances. The Bible says that the faith the size of a mustard seed, is a third of the size of a grain of rice. Faith that size can move mountains. And some of you are here with mountains needing to be moved. Some of you have come here trusting that the Lord will work. Faith can move mountains, but it requires a first step. The blind man had to loudly, and to the annoyance of the people around him, he had to call out for Jesus before Jesus went to heal him. The bleeding woman had to maneuver through a crowd of hundreds to get to Jesus before she was healed. The paralyzed man, his friends had to work, go up on a roof and cut open a residential roof for him to be healed. Bob was talking to me this past week and he said, Timmy, you cannot have a clear vision of the future when you're living in the fog of the past. And some of us, man, we stay in that fog. We wrap ourselves in the past and the comfortability of where we have been, scared of what we will be going to next. See, the truth is, you and I, we have to be willing to take the first step, even if the path isn't fully illuminated. Because, as James 2 verse 17 records, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. If you are in a space where you need your faith to grow, if you are in a rainy, dark, cloudy season, it's all well and good to have faith, but it means nothing if you are not willing to take action and move in that faith. You cannot expect the Lord to send rain. You cannot expect the Lord to provide good soil for you, for your belief in him to grow. You cannot expect him to do all of that until you are willing to plant the seed yourself. I have been that person that says, I have faith, and so I don't got to do anything. And that is not the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus is struggling through your dark periods, your hurt, your pain, your little faith, seeking him. John, what did you say a few weeks ago in your message about getting out of the boat, that there are certain things that were not designed to carry the weight of your soul? It's interesting that the number one distraction for people following God, a great God, trying to live a great life in a good father and a great father, the number one distraction is not the bad stuff. The number one distraction is the good that we settle for. Just as love is a verb, so is faith. Nanny Helen Burroughs, a religious leader, civil rights activist, and educator, had to say. The last thing, your faith cannot grow alone. Your faith cannot grow alone. Jesus calls us vines. So you and I, we are vines. Jesus claims that he is the grapevine, the main root, and that we are the branches, the vines that are attached to him, and that God, in this situation, he is the gardener that tends to the vine. A tree, or grapevine at least, doesn't have one branch. It has multiple branches. I don't know if you could find a tree with one branch. And so similarly, you were not designed to work on your own. You were made to do all of this, to wrestle with God with these hard topics. You were designed to do all of this, to grow in community. You were designed to live and breathe in His goodness in community. You were designed to love and to be loved in a community. You were designed to cry in a community. Grapes don't grow one per branch. They grow in clusters. And similarly, God desires that you grow in a group. Whether that is here at Circle, whether that is at another church, it doesn't matter to us. God desires that you grow in a community of followers that are with you on this journey through life. The truth is, if the paralyzed man didn't have the people around him, his friends, who knows if he would have been healed? Your faith is made stronger in community. I have gone through dark seasons when only the belief of the people around me has kept me up. I have gone through trying times where my faith was non-existent, and it was just the reliance on other people. My mentors, some of them that are here in the room today, have said, "You will be okay." That has kept me up. Your faith cannot grow alone, but it also, there is a charge to be that person for other people as well. This isn't a one-sided relationship. You have a part to play in this as well. You can be that shoulder for other people. You can take turns in upholding each other, as the word says. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 says this: "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to do acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." You might not know what to say, but don't let that hold you back. Don't let that hold what God wants to do back and from what He might do in you. If you don't know what to say, a piece of advice I've heard is, be quick to give. No, that's not how it goes. I'm messing it up. Be slow to give advice and be quick to give your presence. I've met a youth, and her name is not relevant or important to this, but I met a youth this past year. She's going into grade 10, and she, I didn't think she got along with me at all. I thought she didn't like me at all. But you know what? I thought, let me just keep my head down. Let me just keep on following Christ. Let me do my job as a leader. And so we got closer as the year went on. Oh, do I got to stand? Oh, that's my guy at the back, Ben. Thank you, man. And so we got closer as the year went on. And she would come and tell me some of her stories where she was struggling in life, boy crazy and girlfriends and everybody else just causing trauma and whatever. And I could sense that she didn't need someone to give advice. She just needed someone to believe in her. And so I'd constantly repeat, like a broken record, "You'll be okay, you'll make it through." At the end of the year, she wrote me a letter. And in her letter, she said, "Tammy, I'm so grateful I got to meet you. Thank you for being my youth leader. You have no idea how many times you have saved me this past year." I later found out that she struggles intensely with suicidal thoughts. And she had meant that in the most literal way possible. Church, I share this with you not to sing my praises. I am not an amazing man. I am not. I recognize very strongly that everything good that has come from my life has come from God. And every other thing is mine to own. But if the Lord saw fit to use me, a broken man, then how much more can He do with you? Nothing that you have is enough to stop Him from wanting to use you to grow and to have audacious faith. My time working here at Circle is coming to a close pretty quickly, and the reason I'm having to step away from working here. I'll still be here on a Sunday. You guys will not be able to get rid of me that easily. But the reason I'm having to step away is because I'm planning on going into medicine. And so I'm going into my fourth year of undergrad in biomedical neurosciences. I'm going to be doing 2 more years of master's. I'm going to be doing 4 years med school after that. After that, it's about a 6-year residency. I have a lot to trust God about. And there's a lot of different places I can put my faith in. I could put my faith in my grades, you know, get good grades, make it to med school, but it's not guaranteed. I will mess up here and there. I could put my faith in my character. For those who don't know, to get into med school, there's a bunch of like interviews you have to go through to try and ascertain your character, see how you would be as a doctor. I could put my faith in my character. People say I have a good character, but I can't. It will not hold. There will be days I am not a good man. I could put my faith in the system or in what other people say, but the system is not the best, and other people are still fallible. Church, audacious faith, it's not easy. I say it because I know my whole life I'm trusting the Lord in what He will do. It is hard. I wish sometimes I could just trust in my grades, because that's something I can just do and get out of the way. But it is good. And I know that I am being grown each day because of what the Lord is doing. And so now I ask you, where do you place your trust? What is your next step this morning? Where can you grow? And where can you make your faith audacious? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you are with us. We thank you that you are guiding us. God, we thank you that we are able to be here because of you. And God, I just pray that Lord, you will speak to your people. Lord, you know where people are now, and you know where they can grow, where their next step is. And I pray that you will just speak to them, that you will give them ears that are willing to hear and listen, a heart sensitive to your word and to what you are saying, God. God, I pray that in our attempt, in our endeavors to become more audacious in how we follow you, God, that you will be with us, that you will encourage us, that you will strengthen us, God, and that there will not be a moment that we can look back on and say that you weren't there for us, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.